Hi, my name is Andrea Rappaport, and I recently got divorced.
And my name is Morgan Stogstill. I'm a family law attorney, and I did not represent Andrea in her divorce.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
The divorce practice is changing, and it should be changing. Divorce should be done differently.
Honestly, I should not have gotten married. And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
This brand new podcast is going to be both informative and entertaining.
Okay, well, hopefully entertaining.
That's on you. That's why we have you, Andrea, right?
We're here to share the good, the bad, the really bad, and the, are you kidding me, things that you need to know before embarking on this divorce journey.
Well, there's no time to waste. Let's get into it.
Okay, guys. So here we go. This is the very first episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce. And we have affectionately named this episode How We Got Here. So let's dig in. How we got here. The fun stuff. Let's talk about all those fun, warm emotions that swirl through our bodies when we decide that it's time to end our marriage. Blech. Well, since I'm the only one who's been through this, I guess I'll go first. You know, it's funny. For me, when I knew that it was time to get divorced, and I don't know if people out there listening can relate to this. I bet you can. I knew for a long time. And you kind of just keep going and you think like, maybe everybody is miserable. Like maybe this is normal. And then you start to talk to friends and you're like, huh, they really seem to do a whole lot of things together. They seem to really like each other. There's a lot of love there. Oh, and then you look at your life and you're like, huh, okay, well, what do I do now? So the truth is that I knew for a very long time. Honestly, I should not have gotten married. It was never a good fit. I think we both knew that. We decided to get married anyway. We had two children and it was bad. There's no other way to say that. And I feel bad saying that, but it's the truth. I think my family knew, my friends knew, everybody knew, I knew, but I just kept going. And then I developed massive anxiety. I didn't know why. I was falling apart. And then I looked at my marriage and I thought, yeah, okay, this isn't good. I did do couples therapy. I think that truthfully, I didn't do couples therapy with the intent of saving the marriage. I think that I just thought this is what I should do. I think that I thought, okay, I got to take all the steps. I got to do all of this right before I just say, I can't do this anymore.
Andrea, it's interesting that you say that because did part of you feel like I just have to do everything so that if this really goes down, that I can say I tried everything?
Yes. For me, truthfully, I was worried about how my ex-husband's family would react. And I didn't want to disappoint people. And I wanted to be able to say, we did therapy. I knew that there would be, you know, it's kind of like saying like, okay, well, you guys, you can do therapy all you want, but you're a cow and you're an ape. You guys are never going to be able to mate, right? But I'm like, well, let's do couples therapy. You know, like that was kind of it. So we did couples therapy. I think even the couples therapists were looking at us like, the hell are you guys doing here? Like, this is not going to work, but okay. And then, you know, I kept like telling them like, just work with me. And then one day we were in the car, it was a Monday night coming home from therapy. And I don't know, I'm sure that people listening are nodding when I'm about to say this, but you know, when you're in couples therapy, trying to make something work, your body is screaming, this is not going to work. And it almost makes you feel nauseous. The fact that you're sitting there wasting everybody's time. And they're talking about like these things that you should do together as a couple. And you're like, I would rather eat fish that's been sitting out for a year and a half than do this. Like, I don't want to, I can't, right. It makes me, I am dying here. So it was one of those, sessions. And on the way home, I just said, I'm like, I can't anymore. I can't. You know that this is never going to work. You are lying to yourself if you think that it is. You have been miserable. I have been miserable. I am calling time of death. I'm done. This is bad. This is bad. I don't want to do this anymore. And like, Morgan, I'm sure you've had so many people tell you stories like this. It's like, once you say those words, everybody's like, okay, now what?
Because right.
It's like you push a button on like a toy that's about to explode, you know, and you're like, whoa.
You're so, you know? Right. I mean, I think what you say is, or what you said is what a lot of people go through, which is most people do couples counseling, or at least try before they explore next steps. And I always suggest that that's a good idea, because you never want to look back and say, I didn't try everything. You never want the other person or partner to say, you know, we could have saved this, but for you not agreeing to go. So, and also you never know what you're going to learn in therapy. So I'm a big proponent of it. And I feel like, you know, you probably knew, I mean, it helped you get to your point in your car on that Monday night saying to your husband, like, this is not going to work for us.
Yeah. What would you say, like, people, because I'm sure there are people who have this issue where, let's say one person wants to go to couples therapy and the other one doesn't.
Right.
Is that like, is that anything? Is that a flag, or is that just like somebody being resistant to therapy? Like, have you had, because that wasn't my case. Like, we were both willing to go to therapy, but what would you say to people where it's not like
that? I have that a lot. I mean, at the end of the day, if you keep asking someone to go and they keep saying no, whether it's that they're resistant to it, they maybe don't want to look inside themselves, whatever their reason is, at the end of the day, you have to say, okay, I've asked and I've asked and you've said no. At some point, it's time to cut it off. And so I see that all the time as well. I think it's very unique couple to couple.
So for me, you know, I was obviously the one that said, time's up, like, let's get divorced. That'll be fun. I'm sure you have clients on both sides of this, but I know what was swirling through my mind when I said, that's it. Honestly, you know, truthfully, I don't think I wasn't thinking about any of the logistics, because, you know, and you know, this is why we have attorneys helping us do this, because divorce is such an emotional process. And it is sometimes impossible to think logically when you are only running on what's going on in your heart, you know? And I feel like that we almost need like a divorce, like fairy godmother, who's like just the brains who swoops in, right? It's like you push that button, like, I want to get divorced, play. And then somebody flies in. And it's like, all right, girl, here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're not going to do. Here's what you're going to say. Here's what, because I mean, it's just, you know, it's horrible. It is horrible. You feel like your insides are on your outsides. You're falling apart. What would you say, Morgan, to people who weren't like me, weren't the ones suggesting the divorce, but they were the ones who were told, I think we need to get a divorce?
Right. They're the ones that are blindsided to some extent because they're not there in their mind. What I would say to those people is take a deep breath when you get that information. Take some time for yourself. When you get information like that, that you don't like, or maybe didn't see coming, it's very normal to not think clearly. And it may be an hour that you're not thinking clearly. It may be a day. You have to think to yourself, am I my best self right now? If you're not, then you have to just hit the stop button. You have to go take a walk, go see a friend, and you have to find someone, just one person. I do not suggest that a bunch of people is the right way to go, but one person to confide in. Maybe that's a friend, but also a therapist, or maybe it's a family member. But the danger is when you start telling a lot of people, because everyone has an opinion, and God forbid that you stay together. Now you've got all these people knowing your business, and everyone said opinions that they can never take back about your spouse. So that's where it gets dangerous. So really get a small circle around you to confide in and make sure that person isn't judgmental should this marriage continue to go on.
I think I want to add to that, you know, we all have circles of friends, right? And we all have friends we adore, but friends who aren't known for giving the best advice.
Yep.
That's not the person you want to go to.
Absolutely, right? Not.
Like, we all have those friends where like, oh my God, she tells the best stories. She makes the best skinny margarita I've ever had.
Yes.
Maybe Brenda is not the one you go to with this information, right?
Maybe it's Karen.
Maybe it's Karen. Maybe this is the time when we need the Karens.
You may
need the Karen, but that's something that's interesting because, and I don't know how many other people are like this, probably a lot, but I use different friends for different things. So in my life, there's not one person who knows everything. I don't work that way. So I feel like you've got to kind of think, and maybe if you are the person who's planning on the divorce, maybe take some time to really like marinate on who's going to be your person, like
right.
The person you're going to go to, because this does need to be a well thoughtful decision. This is not like I just pick up my phone and start mass texting everybody I went to high school with.
No, you know, my suggestion is find the person in your friend group or on the outskirts that's intelligent, that is forward thinking, but also not judgmental. That's the person you want to tell and confide in. And that's the person that's going to give you the best advice and also not judge you if things don't go the way that you thought that they were going to go.
How important do you think it is, Morgan, to confide in somebody who's been through a divorce? Is that an important factor?
I actually think that at times that can backfire. Okay. So it's something to consider. If that person's the one I'm talking about, you know, the Karen who's got the great advice, then maybe. But the fact of the matter is every divorce is different. And it's inevitable that if you're talking to someone who is just divorced, you're going to hear them all about the nastiness or what happened in their divorce. And divorce is not going to be the same. So what usually ends up happening is that friend who's talking to the friend who just got divorced is more amped up rather than less, because they're taking their feelings and taking on now the friend's feelings of their divorce. So it gets a little murky.
It makes a lot of sense. I'm thinking back to what my experience was like. And I know that when people know that you're going through this, it's like they want to set you up with all of their sad divorced friends. Like, oh my gosh, you got to talk to my friend Stacy. She's been divorced. You'll like her. And then totally. Like, what the hell do I have in common with Stacy? I don't want to sit around and tell Stacy all my stuff. But right. You know, it's funny, like you can't, and I do, you know, like for me, like there wasn't, I was never going to not go through with the divorce, but I do think so I didn't have the issue of telling people on what would happen if I didn't go through with it. However, I did have the issue of, I didn't want to hear everybody's feedback because that made me feel worse. So for me, and like I said, like I was in a bad marriage and people who knew me well knew it. But if I heard one more time, oh, finally, Andrea, I was waiting for you to do this. You haven't been happy for years. I could have told you at your wedding that you shouldn't do this. And I'm like, guys, is this helping right now?
Not helpful. Not helpful.
And I realized, but Andrea, you did this to yourself because you were the one who made the phone calls saying, hey, I'm getting a divorce, right? And you're basically just saying, hey, at the beep, please tell me everything you've ever thought about me, about my husband, about our marriage. Okay, thanks, bye, beep, you know?
Right, it only makes you feel worse to some extent because not only did, you know, you have to look at yourself and now you're saying to yourself, oh, I made this horrible decision.
Right.
I stuck through it. But then there's a sweet spot, you know, that you had with your husband at some point, and you also have beautiful children with him. So right. You've got all these people talking negatively. That's not necessarily the help that you need at this point.
No, it's really not. I think what you need, and this is why we are doing this podcast, is you need someone who's going to be there to maybe not necessarily guide you on what to do, but who's going to be your person so that if you need to vent or if you need to have someone help you see a situation more clearly.
Yep.
That's what's going on. Okay.
Yes.
And just to give everybody a little bit of an overview on what we are going to do together in this podcast is, obviously, I just went through this. Morgan is an attorney. We are going to be your step-by-step divorce buddies. Okay. So we are taking each episode that's going to kind of dig deeper into the different parts that we go through as we go through this divorce journey. So today's episode, which is the first one, is the how we got here. On our next episode, we are going to do a real analysis on finding the right attorney. So we're not going to get into that today, but just so everybody knows, what's coming up next is the attorney hunt. And I will say, the attorney hunt is that first step. It almost feels like you're like going like online dating again. You're like, okay, oh, no. Let's read everybody's profiles. What you got? What are you wearing? Who do you know? You know, it's maddening. But really quickly, Morgan, what would you say to people who are in that first step and they're thinking, okay, yes, I'm getting a divorce. Yes, things are not going to work in my marriage, but no, I don't think I need an attorney to do this.
So there's always a point where, you know, you're not ready to make that decision, and that's okay. So I always tell my clients, just be easy on yourself. But there is absolutely no world in my mind that you can live in where you get a divorce without an attorney. It's basically saying to yourself, I'm going to go diagnose myself from the internet with a medical issue and then do surgery on myself. I mean, nobody with any brains would want to do that. And especially here, because listen, this is your life. Not only your life, you're putting your finances and potentially children in your own hands, and you don't know what you're doing. And there are huge repercussions that can come from that. So an attorney is an absolute must.
Morgan, I know, like, can you give an example of like something that maybe we wouldn't know, right? Like we're like, okay, like I trust my soon to be ex. We can do this together. We're just gonna go through a mediator and decide, you know, and settle on a parenting agreement and go through financials and all of that. Is there something specific, like one call out that would make people think, oh, I didn't know that. I wouldn't have known that I need someone there to represent my interests and my children's interests.
Absolutely. So as you know, I only practice in Illinois. I'm licensed in Illinois, but I can give you an example in Illinois. One of the things that sometimes people don't know is that our law in Illinois, so depending on how you determine who's going to have the children when, can also affect finances. So although they don't go together necessarily, we don't negotiate them together, people who don't have lawyers don't know that if they're making a decision on decision A, now decision B could already be made for you.
Yep.
That's a huge misstep.
And I am nodding over here because I went through exactly that. And it is important. So if you are in that first step right now and you're thinking, I don't know if I'll really need an attorney, make sure you listen to episode 2, because we are going to tell you why you do need an attorney and you need to be thoughtful on who you choose. Now, going back to this time when everything is swirling around thoughts and emotions, I know for me, it felt like I was in the eye of a hurricane, you know, like everything was just flying around me. I was, even though I was the one who asked for the divorce, I was falling apart. I think I was scared. I think I was like, I didn't know what was going to happen and how we were going to do this. I was worried about the kids. I had like a lot of nervous energy at times. I think I felt really happy about the possibility of like what my life would look like now and would I be able to find like real happiness and all that kind of stuff. And then at times I'm like, holy shit, I'm going to get a divorce. Like that's my life now. What are things like, if you were to tell somebody, like, let's say you are that divorce fairy godmother, right? And Morgan,
you call myself on the weekends.
Right. And you fly down to their house and you tap them on the shoulder and you're like, look here, here's what you need to do. And here's what you need to not do. Like where would you start with them, Morgan? What would be those things?
So a lot of clients, first of all, have bad days and good days, just like you're explaining. You know, sometimes you're nervous, other times you're really happy. So that's normal. So I always tell my clients, listen, not every day is going to be a good day. Not every hour is going to be a good day or a good hour. the thing that you have to consider is if it's not a good day or it's not a good time, you just need to know enough about yourself to say, not a good time to talk about this. And if myself as a lawyer, when I have clients that are in a bad place, I say, you know what, let's halt this conversation. We'll talk about it tomorrow when you're in a better place. So that's one way we do keep it. It's day by day, step by step. This is a marathon. So if you have the weight of the entire divorce on your shoulders, it's not going to work out. So I take it step by step. And that's one thing to tell, you know, people going through this. The second thing and the other way to look at it sometimes that helps people is I always say, all right, you've got all these emotions swirling. Take a step back for a second and look at this. Look at this decision that I'm bringing you with as a business decision. Would you make this decision in a business setting? If we took all the emotion out, what decision would you make? And that really kind of brings people back to what matters. So those two ways is step-by-step and business decision-making really kind of focuses people to make the best decision for themselves.
You know, what I was wondering about when you were saying that is I wonder if it would help if that one person who you've picked to be your divorce buddy, could you, and I guess, I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't, send them all that information, everything that you just talked about. And you said, hey, Karen, when I text you at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, I cannot catch my breath, I feel sick to my stomach, I don't know what to do. Maybe we have to give our friend those tools and say, when I text you, I need you to tell me this. I need you to tell me, number one, take a breath. You are not going to resolve all of the issues in your divorce tonight at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, and just because I think like sometimes we know this, and I remember I said this so many times. I remember crying to my dad over and over again. I would say, Dad, logically, I get it. My heart is having a harder time catching up.
Right.
So I see it. I get it. I understand. If I'm pulling it all out logically, yes, here's how we got here. This is what we need to do. I know that I can't do anything at 3 o'clock in the morning. However, it's 3 o'clock. I'm having a mother loving panic attack. I cannot catch my breath. I want to throw up. I can't stop sobbing. What now? And I think you need that. You need that reminder. You need that. Okay, stop. Because even though we get it logically, our hearts do take over. And if we are prone to anxiety, like bink, bink, I am, there are times where you are just on overload. And for me, it always happened in the middle of the night. I always woke up in the middle of the night with just feeling horrible. Like my head was spinning. I felt nauseous. I was like, it was like an explosion because I think it was everything that I was dealing with during the daytime hours that I just kept suppressing, you know, like keep going, keep doggy paddling. You can do this. And then at night it all came out. So you do need that person who you can text, call any hour of the day or night. But you need to have, you need to help them help you.
Well, it's interesting you say that because as you know, one of the facets of my practice is a concierge divorce, which means I try to build a team around people. Anything they need, I have the referrals to get them there, to help them through this process. And one of the referrals, and we can talk about this in a later episode, but if you don't have that friend out there that you can trust in or that you think is going to give you good advice, I have people that do that. I have divorce coaches. Yes, they're paid and there are different pay structures and different ideas, but that's their job. So when you are having that panic attack, when you need someone to give you advice, and it's not lawyer advice, it's more emotional advice to kind of calm you down. Those are people that we can put on your team to help you through it.
And I will say, I did not have a divorce coach and I should have. So that's something that we can talk about as we go deeper into this, because my divorce was not fun. It was contentious. It was ugly. It was long. And I have two small children. So, and I knew better. I knew I should have had a divorce coach and I just didn't. So we'll talk about what all those things can do for you. Really quickly, before we dig into our last segment, which is
probably my favorite. I want to just introduce who we are because we jumped into this episode and we never really told people how we met and how we started doing this. Because everyone knows that you're not my attorney, Morgan, or you were not my attorney, but they don't even know how this podcast came to be. So, right. Morgan, tell everybody about like you and about like how long you've been practicing, how you found me and how we decided to do this.
Sure. So I have been practicing about 15 years and I have a high-end kind of concierge divorce practice. And I realized over the last few years that the divorce practice is changing and it should be changing. Divorce should be done differently. We shouldn't be tearing families apart. We should help them rebuild to look like a different family unit. And in the past, divorce lawyers have this bad name because that's what the only way that divorce lawyers knew how to do it, which was to go to court, tear each other apart. There's a winner, there's a loser. Everyone's a loser. And in the last 5 years, I've been really working hard to try to change the name of the game, to try to change it so that nobody, that the kids are okay, that the parties are okay. And it doesn't matter if I represent one party or the other. At the end of the day, I want them okay. So I saw you, Andrea, online, and you were posting really great things about your divorce, meaning just you were honest. And not a lot of people have, you know, the ability to be as honest as you have been. And it's really tough to do. And I admired that. And I think you were the first person that I saw ever do that. And I was so taken aback and so impressed by that, that I reached out to you directly. And I said, people need to hear what you have to say because they're feeling the same way, but nobody is doing what you're doing. And that's kind of how I met you.
So I like what you said a lot about helping families rebuild because that is what happens. And you said, you know, everybody loses. I remember the first time I sat down with my attorney. And I remember one of the things that my attorney said to me was, he's like, first and foremost, everybody loses. You just have to know that. And that's a crappy thing to hear. But there is truth to that. And that is something that's important to know is that you don't go into this process to win anything. There are things that you are going to lose. However, you are not losing at life. You are doing this so that your life can be better and your children's lives can be better. And there are going to be times in this process when you are going to think, I should not have done this. Nothing is better. Everything is horrible. But I am here to tell you, it is so much better on the other side. Whether you are the one who wants the divorce or doesn't want the divorce, we all deserve to be happy. And if you are married to somebody who wants a divorce, guess what? You're probably not that happy. Because there's probably stuff going on in the background, whether you are aware of it or not. So you gotta just doggy paddle your way through. It will get better. And that's why we are here. And Morgan mentioned that she found me online. It was not on the Yellow Pages website for sad divorced women. My name is Andrea Rappaport and I'm a social media personality. I developed this platform a few years ago, actually when I was pulling myself out of my massive anxiety, I decided that I was going to start talking about it. So I launched a kind of like a blog type thing on Instagram. You are welcome to follow me. I am at the Andrea Rappaport, also on Facebook. And I talk about my life and I make funny videos. I share things. I grew up acting. I worked as a comedian for a long time. And I realized that I only showed people one side of me. I was only the funny girl. Nobody knew about anything else because I was afraid. I was notoriously fine. I was always fine. How are you? Fine. What's going on? Nothing. And I decided that wasn't right. So I share the funny. And I also talk about why we're funny, which, spoiler alert, usually comes from something very unfunny. So that's what I do. And so Morgan saw me on Instagram. And when she reached out and said, I want you to talk about this, would you do a podcast? I didn't hesitate. I said, yes. I wasn't worried. I wasn't nervous. I had already made that decision to talk about my divorce publicly. I already made the decision to talk with the intent to help people. And I knew that if I was going to help people, I couldn't bullshit any of you. So I'm not going to tell you that I was a victim in everything that happened. No, I'm not going to tell you that I didn't make any mistakes. I'm not going to tell you that I am perfect and he is horrible. No, I vowed to tell the truth. So you are going to hear it. And I hope that it helps. And I hope that you walk away knowing that you are not alone. You do have people who have gone through this. And Morgan is here to let people know what you can do so you have the best team possible to help you rebuild in the most effective way, not only for you, but if you have children, for your children, because that's your responsibility as a parent. We all know, like, when we decided to have kids, it's not like you decided to have kids and just have children with your partner. No, like, you're a mom or you're a dad, regardless of being married or not. That part don't change. So if you do have children, then we've got some little people to protect because they're going through a lot too. But we're going to help you do that. And we're going to try to make you laugh while we do it, because that's my part in all of this.
We're going to help you totally not suck at divorce, right?
Right, exactly. So our final segment, which is my favorite segment, we have called You Totally Suck at Divorce. And we're going to read you crazy things that we have found on the internet that pertain to each episode. So what we're going to do today is we're going to tell you some of the crazy reasons that we found on the interwebs of why people got divorced.
That's right. So I'll start it off. So I found this story and it totally made me laugh about an ending settlement and how it was delivered. So at the end of this person's divorce, the person delivered, she owed her husband a little bit of money.
Okay.
And she delivered a letter with a tub full of pennies. And the letter to him said, "Andy, here's $47.12 in pennies." The letter begins, "The other $3 paid for the containers that I used. Receipt is included if you want to return them. I hope you have a fab life because I know mine is 20 times better without you." Such a genius move.
Here are a tub of pennies. Call someone who cares.
And if you need the $3, go return it.
There you go. Thank you and have a blessed day. Can you imagine?
See, you don't suck as bad as other people. See,
we're not giving out tubs of pennies, people. Some of my favorites, there was a woman I read about who was married to a man who was incredibly frugal. He didn't want to drive the car unless they had to. He would like track mileage everywhere that they went. Everything had to be DIY, including their haircuts. So instead of letting his wife, his wife get her hair cut, he insisted that he cut it himself at home. And here's the kicker, folks. The day that she knew she was going to file for the divorce was the day that he gave her bangs.
Oh, so good.
Can you imagine? I would die. I can't even mentally go there. And I mean, who can? Can you picture, like, all right, you need to sit still because I'm giving you a blunt cut bang. And she's like, no, if you do that, Henry, I swear I'm out of here. I swear, that's it. I'm done. I'm not doing this. But my favorite story, and this makes me want to vomit and laugh at the same time. Here we go. There once was a woman who was engaged to a man who had mommy issues. He loved his mom. Oh, did he love his mom? Which is great. We should all love our moms. Maybe not to the extent that this guy loved his mommy, because he insisted that mommy come on the honeymoon with them. Okay, that's weird.
Was that the first red flag or?
Yeah, right. So mommy had to come on the honeymoon. I'm not understanding why. Until one day mommy pulled down her shirt so that husband could nurse. That's right. ladies and gentlemen, may I present you with a grown man who was still breastfeeding from mommy, and the wife decided to file for a divorce. And I ask you people, here's what I want to know. Was that the first time that he nursed in front of you? Usually, I mean, I haven't done that in a very long time, but I feel like that if that's your main source of food, like, don't you think you would have seen it before? Or like, was it just like a special thing? Like, I only nurse on national holidays and honeymoons. Like,
I don't know. I think the moral of the story is things could be worse, right?
Things could be worse. You think that you're going to suck at divorce. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you do not suck as bad as these people. Oh my God, Morgan, holy cow. We did it.
We did.
That is a wrap on episode one of How Not to Suck at Divorce.
And the good news is that there will be a recap of necessary information in the show notes.
Right. Like if you want to know if the man who's nursing is available, he is, by the way, and I'll post the link to his Bumble profile.
Perfect. I'm sure people will be looking out for that.
Guys, what you should be looking out for are the notes that we're going to put about what Morgan said that you need to do and not do in this very first step of the divorce process. And just remember, we all need that one person. We need to help that one person help us. And if you don't have your person, look to the notes that we're going to post about the people Morgan can recommend you to.
That's right. So please reach out to me at Divorce Attorney of Chicago or at Bierman Law with two N's and two E's .com. And I'll give guidance on navigating family law issues, of course, in Illinois only.
And Morgan, give everybody your handle so that they can follow you personally.
Absolutely. It's Divorce Attorney Chicago. That's my handle at Instagram.
And as a reminder, I am at the Andrea Rappaport. That is Rappaport. Follow me, laugh at me. My life might be worse than yours. It'll make you feel better. But remember, guys, you have got this. And we've got you. We're here to help you. We're also here to tell you. Give it to them, Morgan.
How not to suck at divorce.
All right. That was episode one. We'll see you next time for How to Lawyer Up. Bye, guys.
See you then.